Welcome to Season 2 of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. In this season, Elizabeth will continue to take you through issues which she has come across in her Gestalt praxis, read about, or simply bumped into just living life. In addition, and new to this season, she hopes to occasionally have a guest on the show. The topics will still relate to mental well-being, existential questions, what makes your life meaningful, and also what makes it heavy. The setup of the episodes will be the same, with a set of headlines which hopefully will make it easier for you to make sense of what you hear. You can read much more about Elizabeth and how she works on her website willegestalt.eu.
Hi again, and a very warm welcome to the first episode of Season 2 of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. First of all, a very happy new year to all of you. Let's hope 2022 will be a year full of awareness. Here in Luxembourg, it's winter now, and again, many of us find ourselves back at home doing a lot of online work. And for me, this means more online sessions as well. So today, we will look at online sessions and what they can do. Personally, I have for quite some years been taking individual supervision and online therapy, and I have always offered to do a few online sessions with my own clients who, for example, moved away from Luxembourg, often mainly as a kind of transition before they found a local therapist. However, it was only when the pandemic hit that I really started offering online Gestalt sessions on a larger scale. Some years ago, many therapists would say, for therapy, you need to be in the same room. Well, we all learned a lot over the last 2 years. We had to do what we could at both ends of the relation, and we had to do it online. So in view of all of this, today's figure is online sessions and what they can do. Online sessions have come to stay, that's for sure. So today, let's look at what are some of the problems with online sessions and what are benefits. Do we as clients actually get value for money when we, for many, many different reasons, have to do online sessions? What are some surprises I got working more online? How is this important? How is it important if we are in the same room or if we are having an online session? Many different types of therapy, coaching and counseling, works with much more than the spoken word. Much more happens in the room than just a conversation. Most of us also works with signals from the body, body language. Some therapists will say energies in the room. I don't know if I can feel energies, but I do know that over the years I've gotten better at trusting when I suddenly get a hunch that I should ask about this or that, and when it then leads us to a greater understanding of what happened or the matter at hand. Call this energies or not. In many online sessions, as we all know, we mainly see each other's face or maybe torso, not much body there. So all the stuff that has to do with the full body will of course be different when talking, when working together online. I have noticed that I automatically pay more attention to the tone of voice and to facial expressions, maybe simply because that's what I'm left with in online sessions. I've also had clients who would only do face-to-face sessions, mainly because of the extra risk of confidentiality breaks in the online sessions. I have looked into different online tools, Zoom, Teams, Messenger, WhatsApp, Whereby, Skype, and there are probably many more. I have used many of them, and yes, I do see that being in the same room with the phones turned off probably gives the best confidentiality. Nobody listens. This can't really be discussed. Over the last year, I have had a couple of surprises when I met people in the room after only doing online sessions. Some appeared much younger or older, taller or smaller. And also something to mention, see what happens and leave room for a talk about how it is for them, if they had had any comments about this before and so on. So for sure, there are elements which you might not notice, catch, feel as a therapist when you work online. However, I have also had many, what should I say, gifts when working online. I would call them gifts because actually, due to the sessions being online, we got important insights for the client's therapy. Let me give you some examples. Some clients, like most of us, were so used to chatting to friends online, so when they got ready for a therapy session, they would not pay attention to that this was different. It might be possible to chat to a friend while driving your car or minding your children, but is it something you want to do at the same time as doing therapy? This is a gift because talking about this can open up for a lot of insights to how you prioritize yourself. Do you get value for your money? Do you notice if it's different if you sit in a calm environment and focus only on your session, only on you? Is this something you often do? I mean, do many things at the same time. How is this for you? Do you want other people to hear everything you talk about in a session? Would being next to other people prevent you from talking about certain aspects of your life? And so on, and so on, and so on. Lots and lots of insights to gain here with regard to personal boundaries. Are you aware what is okay for you and what is not? Maybe you never thought about it before. Now, this online environment provides an opportunity for working on it. The situation also leaves room to look at what you might be holding back when you are having a session with people around you. And maybe we will look at if this is something you know from other aspects of your life. In Gestalt, we talk about this as retroflexion. I will get back to that in what's Gestalt in all of this, just in a minute or two. I also noticed that it was difficult for some clients to actually find a calm spot because everybody was working at home, being schooled at home, and so on. So some of my clients were talking from their car to get privacy. This worked well, at least when it was not too hot, too cold, or too dark. Not optimal, but I completely get the idea, and in many cases it worked. Again, for one client, it was a gift because we ended up talking about how stressful it was to have people around you all the time. How this actually was a point which she in many ways found difficult, and she had never really acknowledged this. It might happen also in long meetings, on holidays with family, and also in conferences. Now, when talking about it, it was clear that often she would just get really irritated or sad or extremely tired, had actually for periods worried about if she was getting sick. Somatic aspects like headache and an unrest in the abdominal area might come. She could also feel it now when we were talking about it. Again, a talk like this in a session could of course come up during a completely normal face-to-face session. But in this case, for sure, it was the online session which sparked the talk. So all in all, as I went through, it is important in many different ways for clients if the session is done online or face-to-face. However, there are both advantages and disadvantages for the online sessions. For me, on a personal level, it's very helpful to see people face-to-face at some point during the therapy. And at the same time, it has surprised me how new and important aspects, insights, came so clearly through in the online sessions. A bit about what's Gestalt in all of this. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, what is Gestalt in all of this when talking pro and cons of online sessions? Maybe you remember that I spoke about Gestalt experiments in some of the previous episodes. This is interventions which might be done during the session. A well-known one is the empty chair. Well, for sure, experiments need to be different when you are not in the same room. On the other hand, sometimes experiments simply just appeared due to the online environment. A bit like I explained with making sessions with other people around you, which left room for a talk about holding back that we in Gestalt call retroflexion. Retroflexion is one of the contact styles we operate with in Gestalt. Retroflexion can be explained as holding back or turning impulses towards oneself, sort of the opposite of projection, where we put stuff out on others for different reasons. As with all the contact styles, there are advantages and disadvantages. An advantage of retroflexion is, for example, that sometimes it is actually good to hold back a bit until you become clear of the situation around you. This can happen, for example, in conflictual situation if you need a timeout. However, if you hold back too much, you prevent yourself from getting involved in the world around you, and the world might miss out on valuable input from you. Getting awareness on retroflexion can often help the client decide how and when he or she would like to use it or not. Well, how did I end here talking about online sessions? Oh, yes. It was because a client actually got aware of retroflexion because of the environment she was in during the session. And this got us talking about how much she had to hold back lots of things, impulses at the moment due to the lockdown. And that she had many, many years of training in holding back and so on and so on. A lot came out of this session. Another example was once I had a client who was walking his dog during the session. First, I thought this is simply too much concentration on the dog and not an aware client who is allowed to reflect, sense, and feel what happens during the session. However, it turned out that the way the client reprimanded the dog while walking, the words used, the tone of voice, the thoughts behind what was said to the dog actually gave the client a lot of insights into the interjections which the client had taken in at some point without any awareness. Interjections are all the stuff we take in with or without awareness. Learning new skills, for example, is an interjection. We have to learn new skills, and we know when we do it. Some learnings we like, and all of this becomes part of our knowledge base. Other kind of knowledge, behaviors, norms, thoughts, might never really be something we agree with or feel at home in. Then, if we are aware about it, we can start the work of leaving them and getting rid of interjections. With the dog walk client, at first he felt the dog needed to be reprimanded in a certain way. However, when we spoke about what the different words meant for him and what he had of insights to how other people spoke to their animals and maybe each other, and furthermore, where this way of reprimanding the dog came from, suddenly a lot of doubts about what really was the desired way for the client to talk to his dog and to other people developed, and maybe how to communicate in general. Well, don't know if this just became a strange talk about a dog, but in a way you can say that the walk with the dog became one big experiment, which helped generate new understanding and lots of awareness around how the client really wanted to be, to communicate, and so on. I'm not saying that I always prefer disturbances, as in the examples I describe here. I simply must admit that even slightly chaotic sessions, or sessions which to me at a first glance felt a bit chaotic, turned out to be really worthwhile and very phenomenological. Just to finish this part about what's Gestalt in all of this, I did actually Google a bit to see if there was any scientific work about how online sessions actually work. I did not find anything, but should you know about any studies, please do let me know. You can find all my contact details on my webpage, villegestalt.eu. Closing the Gestalt. We're getting to the end of this episode where I spoke about online sessions and what they can do. I hope you got my view of pros and cons, and they are there. And at start, I also asked if we as clients get value for our money. Yes, and a bit surprisingly, I really believe we do, even in Gestalt sessions. And as with so many other things during the last couple of years, it also surprised me how also online work can provide for more awareness and openings for new types of Gestalt experiments. This was it for today. Thanks a lot for listening again, also here where we get back after the break. Until next episode, please stay safe and aware.
Thanks for listening to this episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show via your podcast app of choice. Should you have any questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Elisabeth Wille. You will find all the needed details on the website willegestalt.eu. Just a quick disclaimer, all case stories are anonymized and no clients directly quoted without prior written consent. And remember, any information you hear on this podcast, see on the Wille Gestalt website, Facebook page or Instagram, is for information purposes only and should never be a substitute for actual mental and or medical advice from a doctor, psychiatrist, or any other health professional.